Welcome to TFL's Capital Connection, your source for inside information on the policy and the ministry going on at the Iowa Capitol. I'm Drew Zahn, Director of Communications for the Fama Leader. We have a very special episode for you today as we talk behind the scenes, perhaps even more than usual, about some of the work that we do at the Family Leader. At TFL, many of you know the work that we do advocating for policy. Through this broadcast, many of you have been introduced to the work that we do with churches and bringing the gospel to government, making the Capitol a missions field. But there is even more and yet that the Family Leader does as an advocate for you and for families and for biblical values here in Iowa and beyond. And today we're talking about one of those more behind the scene types of things that you don't normally get to see. At TFL, we have pioneered a strategic plan for impacting and influencing government and culture. It's a four-point plan. We don't typically talk about it, but I'm going to take just a few moments to highlight it so that you understand what we're going to be talking about today, as specifically, a little preview here, specifically today, we talk about elections. But at the Family Leader, this four-point strategic execution plan, we begin by recognizing the first and most important thing that we can do to impact government, culture, America, you and your families, that intersection of church, family, and government. The first and most important thing we can do is to focus on cultural transformation. For us, that means changing the way we think about government, changing the way we think about citizens engaging government and voting. And it means working with specifically pastors and churches to be a timeless voice to our government. Bringing the gospel to government, you've heard me talk about that before. That is first priority. And to be honest, that in itself is a bit of a revolution, as Christians engaging government over the last 50 years have often made the mistake of, and we would say mistake now, of focusing first and foremost on policy and trying to get certain kinds of laws passed. What we've discovered at the Family Leader and what we've pioneered here is the reality that if you start there, you've started at the wrong place. It is not the government, but the church that is God's designed instrument of transforming culture and changing lives. So we must start with engaging the church first. And that is a cultural paradigm shift, something that we call cultural transformation. That is where we begin at the Family Leader when we talk about engaging with government. But that is just the first point, because we recognize we need a more comprehensive way of the church engaging with government. So the second point that we engage in, the second strategic point, is to impact elections, because we recognize that when you elect ministers of God, and by that we mean people who understand that they are in a position where they're under authority, they are serving God by serving government. When you impact elections with ministers of God, you change how government operates. So impacting elections is number two. The third point, then, is influencing policy. And that's what we talk about almost every week here. And we will talk about today a little bit with Ryan Benn, our director of policy. And then finally, the fourth element is to build the kind of partnerships between government and church, separate roles but partnered together, focusing on the same issue to bring more comprehensive solutions to our communities and the problems plaguing them. Those four points: cultural transformation, impacting elections, influencing policy, and building partnerships are the core strategy the Family Leader uses behind the scenes to really make a difference at the intersection of church, family, and government. Now, after all of that, the reason I walked you through that is because today we're going to focus on one of those areas. It's always in the news, but you don't always hear about Family Leaders' involvement, and that is impacting elections. Now, Ryan, Ben, we've got someone new. You've heard Ryan on the radio or on the podcast before. Ryan, howdy. Say hi. There
Hello.
He is.
I'm here.
Very good. Ryan is going to introduce someone to us. I'll let him do that in just a minute. But before we get there, let's just touch upon Ryan's area of expertise. He is, in fact, our director of policy. And therefore, Ryan, give us a quick update on what's going on with policy over the course of the past week.
Yeah, the update is we are past the second funnel, so many, many bills have died, and we have, I think we counted the other day, about 12 bills left that we are registered in support of. We'd like to see pass this session. As last week progressed, none of those bills are on the debate calendar in either the House or the Senate, and so we didn't see any movement on them. But we were still busy. We're still working behind the scenes on primarily our top two priorities right now. We want to get that baby Olivia bill across the finish line. It still needs to pass the Senate and then repass the House. We think there's a path forward for that, so we're keeping on that one. And then also our Protecting Kids Online agenda. Both the bills that we had on that subject, which involves allowing or empowering parents to have better control over their kids' social media use and also protecting kids from online pornography, both of those bills died during the second funnel. But at the Capitol, if the legislature wants to get something done, that they have ways of getting it done. They can get around their own built-in restrictions there. We think that a lot of the language we want passed in that could still be attached to other bills, that they could find a way to get it done. So we have not given up. We might be reaching out to you this week, asking you to help us contact your legislature, let them know that we would like to get this passed this session. It's a priority, needs to get done quickly. So we're still working. No updates on, you know, movement, but hopefully this week we'll have more of that for you.
Thank you, Ryan, for updating us on policy. You often hear us talk about cultural transformation with our Church Ambassador Network and some of the partnerships they build as well. But sort of that silent fourth one that we're going to talk about today is impacting elections. One of the things you may not know, the public may even not necessarily know, is the family leader is involved in elections. We work to encourage those who would be ministers of God to run. We encourage and equip them, helping them to meet the filing deadlines, helping them to recognize the different steps they're going to have to take in terms of fundraising and partnerships and so forth, just trying to mentor and equip these folks to run. And then we also work to educate the community when we have ministers of God that are worth electing, people who we'd like to see serve. We let the community know about it as well. And then finally, on a both state and national level, we work to encourage the church to think carefully about the way that we vote. For years, we've run a program called Honoring God. Right now, it's been renamed. It's called Choose Well, encouraging the church to think about our vote. Here in America, we have a gift from God that we can choose our own leaders, our own government. Very few places in world history have had that gift and that privilege. We have it. We consider it a gift from God. And like all gifts from God, we want to steward it well. We don't want to be the servant that buries it in the sand so that when the master comes back and says, "What did you do with my gift?" we answer, "Nothing." So we encourage instead the church to use the vote as a gift from God, steward it well, use it for His glory. Today, we're going to dive even deeper than that, however. We're going to go into some of those before the election, before the vote, when the world isn't necessarily watching everything that's going on, the family leader is involved in the process. And for that, we get to introduce someone who is not new to the family leader by any means, but is a new team member. And Ryan, let me turn things over to you to introduce the third voice you're going to hear on the podcast today.
Yeah, that was a great setup. I feel like I need a drum roll or something. anticlimactic here, but this is Josiah Olson with us today. He's our new director of elections. I kind of tried to fill some of that role last fall, some school board stuff, and I tried. It's good to have Josiah now. He's an expert at it. He's been doing it for years. He's actually not that old, but he's actually more experienced at elections than most people are, because most people call it quits, is what I've been told pretty early on. So, Josiah, why don't you tell the people about your background?
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here. Thanks for listening today. But I've been involved in politics for a while, even before college, and after college, more or less my full-time role, working down at the Capitol, been on a couple presidential campaigns, different groups over the years, but really excited to work here at the Family Leader. You know, one of the things that conservatives tend to struggle with in politics is we tend to force ourselves into alliances with groups that don't necessarily always have our best end in mind. And so we wind up, you know, supporting conservative candidates or supporting conservative causes. But then at the end of the day, we find out that, well, they're with us on half the issues, but at the end of the day, they don't share our worldview. So when the going gets tough, we might not always align at the end of the day. And that's often why we come up so short on the policy field. But looking forward to doing some good things here. Obviously, the standard was kind of set back in June of 2022 with the success we had in the primaries there. And, you know, that success definitely put us in a good position past the ESA and school choice bill this last fall. But excited.
Gil, let's go back and talk about that for just a moment. You know, I know Chuck, who's often on our podcast, mm-hmm. loves to share a story about you that you testified on your first bill when you were, I think, 13. Is that right? 12, 13, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's, it's not, he tends to dramatize it, but yeah.
Well, it's one of Chuck's favorite stories.
That's the mythology of it.
Yes.
The myth, the lore. The man, the legend. Yes. But going back to 2022, you were not on staff here yet, full time, as you are now, but you were a part of the family leader's efforts to see candidates put forward who would support biblical values, particularly in the area of parental rights in education and giving parents a choice when it comes to where they send their children. Especially, to be honest, there's a lot of families who financially they might want to send their children somewhere, but because of the way that schools are funded and so forth, it wasn't feasible for them to do so. We worked hard. You worked hard on finding, encouraging, and mentoring and equipping candidates who would make that a priority. And lo and behold, I remember there were six candidates in particular that the family leader was backing on that issue, and those six candidates all won in their primaries and then went on and, am I correct, all won in the election?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Yes, and therefore infused the Iowa legislature with a push, a fervor for passing school choice, and we saw it happen.
Yeah, it took 2 weeks in January after those results the previous June, so makes a huge difference. People don't always... it would be nice if everybody just always voted because it's the right thing to do, but sometimes people need some motivation. And so I'm hopeful we can provide some more of that with Josiah here.
Yeah, another thing Chuck does like to say, yes, the school choice bill passed the legislature, I think it was in January, as you said, but in reality, that bill was passed the previous year when the primaries happened and those school choice candidates won those primaries. Effectively, that was the time when the tide was shifted, and it began, honestly, before a lot of people were even paying attention.
Yep.
Others aren't paying attention. Even the media isn't paying attention, but the family leader is. It's part of our process, having eyes on the prize all the time. Josiah, can you talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you were doing, some of the ways you were involved in that, in those early primaries?
Yeah. You know, 2022 was a unique situation in that we had the redistricting occurring. So we had a couple of races where one incumbent that we would support was drawn in with another incumbent that we didn't support. That happened in at least two races I can think of off the top of my head. We also had situations where incumbents who we wound up opposing got drawn into territory that they weren't familiar with. So we had the benefit of, it was a unique cycle for sure. We also had a number of great allies that were able to help us in those elections. Americans for Prosperity was an ally in several of those elections. Students for Life was an ally in a couple of those as well. I believe I'm sure I'm missing one or two of our other key allies. But one of the things that really set us apart was in several of these races, we were outspent. You know, when you put us and our allies versus the opponents and our allies. But what's made us different was, I think, the passion that we had on our side. You know, I always say that door knocking still can't be beat for local races, particularly at the state level. And campaigns have tried to replicate that. Even some of the campaigns I've worked on recently, and we've tried to replicate that to failure. Because at the end of the day, paying someone to go knock a door is just not going to instill that same sort of passion of someone going to the door and talking to their neighbors, to their friends.
Because they believe in the issue.
Because they believe in that candidate. They believe in that issue. Yeah. And that was one of the things that we were able to do that other organizations weren't in a couple of these races, was we were able to connect with people on the issues that mattered, particularly the pro-life issue in a couple of the races. I think of the race where we took out the chair of House Ways and Means, and then another race where we took out another House member in Central Iowa, both of whom were, you know, they may have claimed to be pro-life, but their voting record said otherwise. And there was lots of organizations that were, again, part of our alliance and supporting the candidates we wanted, but none of them were on the ground discussing the pro-life issue. So we were able to connect with people like you in the audience who are passionate about that pro-life issue and make sure that you had an opportunity to express yourself and actually make a difference. You know, it's one thing to just give some money, and obviously those things matter, but to actually go to doors and talk to folks and say, hey, these are the issues that are on the ballot here. You need to get out and vote on June 6th, or this year it's going to be June 4th. And that's why we need to be getting out there. That really does make a huge difference in the outcome of the race.
Yeah, I want to say, mention though, it's a huge advantage that we have here at the Family Leader in Iowa, being a state organization as opposed to a organization that's based out of Washington, D.C. and tries to fly in to impact an election in a given year. Because you mentioned, Josiah, the concept that more than just a hired gun, having people in the community, having volunteers, having people who are passionate about the issue makes all the difference. And that doesn't happen unless an organization like ours has had the time locally to build the relationships, to get to know those people, to equip those people, encourage those people, recruit those people in some cases, and build those relationships. So much of what the Family Leader does, whether it's up at the Capitol with the pastors or even long before the election with volunteers, building relationships at a local level is key to having a more meaningful impact, not just on policy, but also on elections.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I think we are going to continue to work on in the elections department. Obviously, I just came into this role and I've been vacant for a while, but it's something we're going to be building now. So if you're listening to the podcast, we'll definitely be hopefully in a town near you soon to work on building those relationships. Because again, the you know, like Ryan said, the policy, the school choice bill was not passed that second week of January, right? It was passed back in June of 2022 when a coalition of groups came together, worked hard in these primaries, and got the results done and made it happen.
Fantastic. So looking forward to your continued work here. You have already begun. This is not just, elections are not something we're just looking forward to coming later. The process for you actually has already started. You had to hit the ground running here.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've had a number of candidate meetings observing the there's a number of open primaries in Iowa this year, and including some primaries against incumbents, but we're taking a look at all of them. I think that's us doing our due diligence. Nobody is entitled to a seat. The legislators serve the people, and we want to make sure that every seat is represented in the best way possible. But, you know, we talk about elections being a long-term thing, long-term ahead of time. If you're a listener and you're thinking about running, it's a little late to think about running for 2024, but I got good news for you. It is just the perfect time to start thinking about running for 2026. So if you're out there, start thinking about it.
You know, one of the things that we do here is government is so big. Government is so complicated. I wish there was someone who was paying attention early in the process. I wish we had somebody better to elect. And the reality is, the good news is, the Family Leader is paying attention early in the process. We're working to make sure that you have better candidates to potentially elect and potentially vote for long before the ballots get set, long before the election day is typically in November. Hey, if you want to learn more about what we're doing with elections, if you want to learn more about what we're doing with policy, if you want to be a part of those action alerts that Ryan, I think he alluded to earlier, but if not, we certainly do send out those every once in a while when a bill like Baby Olivia or Protecting Children Online needs a little extra push from the public to get over the finish line. If you want to learn more about the Family Leader, get involved, be a part of those relationships that Josiah talked about, I want to encourage you to visit our website at thefamilyleader.com. And if you'll just scroll down past the first few news stories there, past the blog, you'll see a section that says subscribe to our newsletter today. Please fill that out and be a part of the team at the Family Family Leader and thefamilyleader.com. Thank you for listening to TFL's Capital Connection.
This podcast is a project of the Family Leader and the Family Leader Foundation and is only possible through the generous support of our donors. If you would like to partner with us in our work, please visit thefamilyleader.com/give.